Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. I'm glad to meet with you today, and we're looking forward to this time in the month of November, the year 2013. I'm sure most of you can remember when you were in grade school. Some of you may have remembered when you had to write down something like 1950. I remember that was a big deal going from the 40s to the 50s. Others, you might have had to write down 1980 or 1970 or 1990 when you were going from one decade to another, and it was kind of a monumental thing. Well, the monuments are stacked up all over the place for some of us. The lady that wrote that last song, Calvary Covers It All, was born in 1932, so she's 81 years old, and I've been singing that song probably 40 years, so she must have wrote that when she was a pretty young woman. And I kind of like this little touch. Did you notice what she put down for her name? Mrs. Walter Taylor. It's an interesting way to do it, isn't it? Very few artists or very few people that do something that would call attention to them would use their husband's name as who they are. But I appreciate that song, and we can learn things from virtually everything we observe, and we need to have those observant eyes. Truthfully, if you don't have some emotion tied up in what the Lord did when He rescued you, you may not be very emotional. And then again, you may just not understand the situation. The difference between suffering in hell for eternity and being in a place where there's no tears and no death for eternity, and it's all because of His mercy and His grace and His kindness. And no wonder these songwriters and the people who sing them, that just comes out of their soul. And that's what we're talking about these last couple of messages, that it's from the inside. The salvation work is done inside. We get a new heart. In fact, it says in the Scriptures, the old things are passed away. All things are become new. We're a new man. And the emphasis of these last 2 weeks is aimed at this. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you that know the Lord, you that are sure you're going to be going to heaven, you that know your sins have been forgiven, would you, brother and sister, would you look inward and think about what you really are? What you really are? You're an eternal spirit that's now been saved for an eternity with God. And the things, the issues of life come out of the heart. And we've looked at so many passages that teach this. And remember the context in Matthew's 15, you don't need to turn there, verses 1 and 2. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." And you remember we said this was probably came out of the time when Jesus fed the 5,000, and they didn't have a place that said restroom where you could go wash your hand. And so they ate what Jesus gave them, and they couldn't wash their hand. It probably wasn't their tradition to wash it as laboriously and as religiously as the Pharisees did anyway. But Jesus answered the scribes and the Pharisees in the next verse, and He said, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by these traditions?" Then He went on and gave an example, which you remember that from before. Much of religion in the world today, much of what is called Christianity in the world today, is pretty much all surface. It's pretty much all surface. You go out and hire a really highly educated, well-educated preacher, and you want him to look good and sharp and all that sort of stuff, and hopefully he's just a real pleasing guy to everybody. And then you do everything you can to have the music be just what the world wants. And then you make the services short enough so the world can live with those services. And you go on and you do everything you can to just appeal to the outside man. You might have video games in the basement of the church, and the kids don't have to go to church. They can go down there and play on the video games because then they like to go to church. And then on the surface, you can say next day at work, you can say, I took my family to church. And you can make a deal out of it. And it's mostly all surface, surface, surface. And I'm not, just not a broadside criticism of everybody that's not just like us. Not at all like that. But here's the thing about biblical Christianity coming out of what Jesus taught us. He said it comes from the inside. And he made this application. He said, Now hear and understand, he says, a little later on in this 15th chapter. He says, now hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth a man. And of course the disciples said, well, the Pharisees are really upset with you. And we don't understand what you're talking about. And then he said, are you also without understanding? He said, I said hear and understand, but you don't seem to understand it. And I would say this is a widespread situation probably today, and maybe even too much in our congregation here. We probably look too much at surface things and not enough at what's down inside of us and what God is dealing with inside of us. On your program, on the back sheet, the back page of the program, if you look at that, there's two lists. One list comes from these two chapters in the Bible, Mark 7 and Matthew 15, but this is from Mark 7, a list of the evil things that come out of a heart that hasn't been saved or a heart that's not in tune with the Lord. You'll see that list. It's a rather comprehensive list. And then over in the next column is a list from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This is a list of qualities that come out of a saved heart. They're called the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And there's things like love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Over contrasting with evil thinking, thefts, covetousness, deceit, pride, foolishness, adultery, and that sort of thing. Why would these lists be in the Bible? Why are such comprehensive lists in the Bible? To emphasize the comprehensive cosmic nature, the central nature of the internal man that you'll see. What I am is not my hair and my color, my eyes. That's not really what... of course that has a part. But what I really am is what I am in here. And the Lord teaches that over and over again. And what He's saying in this parable, as the disciples called it, when He's talking about what comes out defiles... And what comes out blesses too. That these lists, these are two kinds of lists. There's a list for the fruits of the Spirit, which comes out of a person who's been born again and who loves the Lord. And his heart's been changed. And he's on fire for the Lord to a certain extent. The more the better. Because Jesus said of one of the churches, you're lukewarm. You don't have much heat. I'd almost rather you'd be ice cold. But as a Christian that's been saved by the grace of God, is on fire for the Lord, he's going to have these good qualities because they come out from inside. And he wants us to think that way about ourselves. That MRI is mirror resonance imaging or something like that. And the idea of it is that it looks at the inside more carefully than you can with an x-ray or by just feeling around on the outside to see what it feels like inside. Doctors do that a lot. You've had them do that with your belly, haven't you? They're pretty good at it, but it's not near as good as an MRI. Well, that passage that I read during the announcements from the book of Jeremiah, it says that God is here to test our heart. And He wants us to test our heart. And He wants us to see what kind of a heart we have. And He wants us to deal with our heart and to open our heart up to Him and let it be exposed to Him and let Him minister to our heart and deal with our heart. And Jesus makes another list like this, and it's called the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. I'm just going to give you a few of those Beatitudes because these come out of the heart. I don't need to tell you what it means, to what you got in your heart. You ever seen somebody just at war and they're angry? They have road rage when they run into somebody that's too slow getting through a green light. They don't like the waitress. They don't like the checkout person. They don't like that stupid government, and they don't like the stupid this, and they don't like that, and they're going to, boy, if I ever hear does that, I'm going to get him. It's in there. And so Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that down inside see themselves as Brother Doug gave a little personal testimony about one of those songs about what God saved. He didn't take a really nice stone and cut it a little better into a little more perfect diamond. One of the writers of the scripture said, I was a worm. He took a worm and made it into a trophy of His grace. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers, He says. You know, to be a peacemaker, you got to have a certain kind of a heart, don't you? What is necessary to be a peacemaker? You're trying to help somebody get over their meanness, right? And Jesus goes on in that in the Sermon on the Mount, and He says, if somebody whops you on the cheek, you don't say, you whopped the wrong man. I mean, the world thinks this way. The world thinks, no, there's a man. He decked that guy that hit him on the cheek. Jesus said, no, turn the other cheek. And you know the rest of those accounts in there. It comes from within. A peacemaker is not easily offended. Brother Ramsey told a story a long time ago, and I haven't forgot it. I'm sure some of you remember it, but he was driving a car, and Willard, bless his heart, and that's a bad thing to say because some people say, well, but Willard was a deliberate man, wasn't he? He did things precisely. He was driving, and somebody was behind him didn't appreciate the deliberacy of his driving. Do you remember the story he told? The man got madder and madder and madder and was on his back and everything. Finally, Willard pulled over, and the man came up, and Willard opened the door, and the man was so mad by now, and Willard didn't even know what he did. And Willard had his glasses on, and the man took the door and slammed it back in Willard's face and broke his glasses. And Willard, here's what he said to us, and I believe it. He said, I felt so sorry for that man. Don't you feel sorry for a man that can get that exercised about the way he's driving the car, somebody else is driving the car, and is so at war? And Jesus said, wait a minute now. These are the fruits of the Spirit, joy and love and peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. So Christian brothers and sisters, let the Spirit of God that saved you control you on the inside. And let His Spirit also convict you as it should me and everybody else of the breaches of that Spirit. Christians should not by nature be suspicious people. Love thinketh no evil. We gotta trust and verify, and we gotta be wise and buyer beware and don't be stupid. But we aren't going around trying to get even. Well, you get the emphasis here. And why the lists? Why such a long list? Because the work of the Spirit in a regenerated person is so profound. It touches so many areas of our life. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now I'm going to offend somebody, but I do it honestly, with kindness, and realize that I am not clear on this all the way, by any means. But what does it mean to hunger and thirst after righteousness? It says in 1 John, the 5th chapter, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and they're not grievous. They're not grievous. That's why the psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let us go up to the house of the Lord. As soon as the obligations and the things that you're supposed to do, say you're supposed to have the nursery, say you're supposed to be a deacon, say you're supposed to be a pastor, say you're supposed to be a musician or in the choir, say you're just supposed to be a member that's supposed to be there, say you're supposed to tithe your income to support the church. The marvelous thing about the New Testament church is that it's supposed to be made up, it says in Jeremiah chapter 31, the old house of God, which was the tabernacle and the temple, was made up of people who weren't all saved. And they felt like they had an axe over their head sometimes, and they grudgingly served. But he said, in the new house of God, in the new covenant, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, local assemblies like Hallmark Baptist Church, it's going to be made up of people. Let me read those actual words. I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts. That's what Jesus is talking about. It comes out from within. And so, what's the Spirit? I say I'm going to step on some folks' toes. What does it take to stop you from tithing? To Hallmark's great credit, I think I preached one sermon in 40 years where tithing was a central part of it. One. And I only said about the obligation. To Hallmark's credit, I believe probably a high percentage of you, when you get your check, you're glad you can take the first 10% and plus if necessary, and write that check, or whatever, however you put it in, and put it in the offering plate, and you're glad to do it. You won that victory a long time ago. Well, that's what it means to have the law written in your heart. If you're giving out your service to the Lord, I had a brother a little younger than me, and we used to share things. Boy, I'll tell you, if we had to share a Hershey bar, did we ever cut that thing down the middle? You didn't want to take a chance on 60-40. Because you were going to give each one exactly the right. Then you might even say, can I take the first one? Because one looks like 52%. Because that's human nature. We're glad to tithe. We're glad to attend. We're glad to go. We're glad to visit. We're glad to talk about the Lord. We're glad to be on the Lord's side. And then there's another wonderful thing that it says about that. It has to do with the church again and the inner things and the inside. It says in the book of Galatians that in the New Testament church, and it calls it a mystery in the book of Ephesians, it's a mystery how that people of such diverse backgrounds and diverse gifts and diverse tendencies get together. And you know why it works in the New Testament church? The only way it works? If we got it down in here. If we got love down in here. And brothers and sisters, here's a warning. Help us, everyone. Help us, everyone, not to despise people who are markedly different than us, those saved. And there's such differences. Even in this small congregation, I'm not going to delineate. Just think in your mind. Some are slow, some are fast. Some are patient to a fault almost, and some are impatient absolutely to a fault. I'm talking about just in normal interface with other people, but it tends to be like the fingerprint. Why did God make different kinds of thumbprints? Everyone's a little different. Why? I don't know. But I do know this. It says in the book of Ephesians that this is a mystery and a wonderful thing. God, by working in the inner man of a Christian, has made it so that a Jew can be together in the same body, and it's not talking about the universal church, because it goes on in that Ephesians chapter 2 and says we're all in the same body, knit together. We're visibly together. How could he put a Jew and a Gentile that had such despite for each other from an ethnic point of view into the same church? Early after the Civil War, I am sure there were times when carpetbaggers that were saved came down here and had no Baptist church to visit. And I hope back then that they were sweet to the Confederate folks in that church, and I hope the Confederate folks were sweet to the carpetbagger, to the Yankees. And I hope the Yankee could join that church and be a person in good standing, because it says in that passage in Galatians, it talks about the social standing, it says neither bond nor free. It talks about ethnic or family background, neither Jew nor Greek. It talks about the generic thing. See, we don't have a male-female crisis in this church like the world has right now. The world's at war on that subject. Are we at war on that? No. Our heart settled in with God when He gave the commandments. And one of the things, if you're here today as a non-believer, you're not saved yet, what God wants from you is to believe that His truth and the things that He has said about you down inside and the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart, that you will yield to Him as the sole authority. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways. I like it. It's plural. The end thereof are the ways of death. You know what the world, you know what God said? A man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, period. End of sentence. That's the pattern. You know what the world says? Different strokes for different folks. You know? Who are we to say? Who are we to say? Listen. Concerning your own salvation, if you're lost, line up behind God. Listen to what God's Holy Spirit says to your heart. He says that you're a sinner and you're holding the truth in unrighteousness if you aren't believing in Jesus for the salvation of your soul. And Jesus says to your heart, I am the way. I am the way. I love this new Microsoft technology that's come along in the last 20 years. I love thee. Boop, bold. Boop, underlined. Boop, red. You're going to have it red, underlined, and bold. Thee. I am the way. Not a way. And if you're lost, down in your soul, down in your heart, would you surrender to the concept that the God who created you is the one who's got the remedy for you. And not only that, see what Jesus is saying here is, it's not what enters in, it's not what you eat, it's more what eats you. And if you don't like to have God rule over you, that's eating you. I mean, it might be good to eat seaweed. It might be good. I mean, some people say it's really good for you. I tried it one time at Annie's Cafe down in Main Street, and frankly, you can keep it. But the truth is, it might be good for you. But that's not what's going to make you what you ought to be as a Christian. What is going to make you what you ought to be as a Christian is coming to grips with the idea. Let God be true and every man a liar. Isn't that beautiful? Now do you see where these lists come in? In that New Testament church, He's going to put His law in our hearts. He's going to write it in our hearts. So we belong to Him. And so we have that kind of a spirit. And so we're able to serve Him with the kind of a heart that is a peacemaker's heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And so in the New Testament church, brothers and sisters, let's just say this. Brother Bill, you were wrong to say some people are patient to a fault. Yes, Brother Bill, you were wrong. Patience is necessary. Don't you think a watchmaker in the old days needed to be patient? Don't you think a genetic biologist needs to be patient? Don't you think a composer for orchestra needs to be patient? Then who are you to say patient to a fault? On the other hand, a lumberjack's got to get, he's got to grab hold and he's got to be bold. And he can't sit there and meditate too long. He's got to be wise, but he's got to cut that tree down, he's got to cut that tree up, and he's got to get onto the next tree. And there's gifts. The Bible says that God has put gifts in. And then the apostle goes on and says, just because the little finger, you need the little finger. He said, the body's that way. Well, here's a good thing for us. I've seen Christian people get so perturbed about somebody's personality characteristics, they can almost spit nails in their Christians. And people will say things that sound unkind to you if it's about you. Right? I mean, we have examples all the time, which I won't give you. Just think about it. We have little idiosyncrasies, little differences. To God, they must be beautiful by and large. Because look what He did. He didn't give us the lily flower. He gave us the lily and the rose and the nasturtium, and He gave us this and that and the other thing and the aster all these. He gave us all these things. And now in the New Testament church, we're all mixed together. So there's some great application for Christians. And as I close, I promise to talk about the implications of this principle of what comes out from within is what defiles, and it's also what blesses. I promise to talk about this in the context of the gospel and the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's vitally important. We read in the book of Jeremiah, I'll read it again. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. The salvation of the Lord works this way. His Holy Spirit deals with the inner man about the inner man's sin problem. Boy, I can remember that when I was lost. Jesus says the Comforter is going to come, going to work through the church. As men preach, as ladies teach in the Sunday school, as others sing the gospel messages and others read the Psalms and others sit with their children at their knee and open up the book of the Scriptures. And as you teach and as the Spirit of God takes the Word, the Spirit of God is going to convince you down in here. Don't you think that might be one of the reasons Jesus said to turn the other cheek? What is your cheek anyway? You know, really. I cut mine shaving once a month. I'm not a patient guy. Get that beard off. You know, should be more patient. Then I'll cut myself once a month. What's my cheek compared to my soul? And so the Spirit of God deals with you as a lost person down inside about your sin. And Jesus says that the Spirit of God will come and convince you of your sin. And you need to know that the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all who hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. Don't take your stand against God, and that's who you're taking it against. To put off salvation? To put it on the back burner? You know, in human relationships, delayed obedience is disobedience. You can put somebody down with a little delay in the human world. Here, honey, you've got to try this sandwich. Put it in the freezer. If I like it, I'll warm it up later. Not acceptable. That's not the way to operate. God says, I so loved you that I gave my only begotten Son. Jesus said, you must repent or perish. God says through Jesus in John 3:16, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, whoever puts his trust in Him, whoever buys in their soul down in here to the fact that the only way I'm ever going to get to heaven, the only way is to surrender my pride about being a sinner and admit that I'm a sinner and feel bad for my sins and repent of my sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in Him. And Jesus said, whoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so Doug sings with a smile on his face. He wasn't trying to smile. You know, he wasn't trying to smile. Out of the heart come the issues of life. Most of our genuine smiles come from down here. You know? So as a lost person, bow your knee to Almighty God concerning your sins and concerning God's remedy for your sins. And then here's what He does. Oh, blessed message. And what a picture He gave us in John chapter 3. A man who was a ruler of the Pharisees. And you want to know what a ruler of the Pharisees looked like? They cut their hair with a razor. They had a uniform. They turned out more according to the book than a Marine ever tried to. They had some of the scriptures in a thing looked like Brittany's little band that she wears around her head, but they had the scriptures up there to say, I keep the scriptures in my forehead. And spirituality had to do with how wide your whatever that is at the bottom of your garments. And they made those wide. And so here comes one to Jesus. And he brags on Jesus a little bit. He said, Master, you're a great rabbi. And Jesus looks probably at the phylactery, and I don't know, I'm just guessing, looks down all the way down the borders of his garment. I got it, the borders of his garment. And then he looks back up into his eyes, and then he looks down into his soul. And he says, except you be born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Something has to happen down in here. You got to be made a new creature. Nicodemus says, how can I do that? He says, marvel not that I said this. God is patient and nice and long-suffering and kind in so many ways, but He keeps driving the message home. Marvel not that I said this. Not only do you have to be born of the water that where you were born, the natural birth, see, we're in water until we come out. But now you have to also be born by the Spirit. Now you have the natural birth, now you need to be born again. And now we're going to close the message by coming back to that place in Matthew 15. And we're also going to look just briefly at that place in Jeremiah. And then I want to read in the book of Luke. In Jeremiah, remember, it says, you're going to be planted by the waters. In Matthew 15, Jesus' words, He says this, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted. When you're born again, you're planted by the Lord. You're a new creature. You were dead and now you're alive. We used to send off for plants and bushes and stuff to these catalogs. I think you've probably done that. And they come, pathetic looking things, don't they? Sometimes they come. There's not even anything green on them. And they're all wrapped up like that, and it says, put them, soak them in water for 24 hours, put them in the refrigerator for 72 hours, and then plant them and give them plenty of this and that kind of thing. Lo and behold, they grow. Here's what the Lord does. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Really dead in trespasses and sins. Earmarked for hell. And by mercy He saved us and He planted us as new. Read the first Psalm sometime. Not only did He plant us, but He planted us by the water. Because we're supposed to grow. That's called sanctification. And that list in Galatians chapter 5, joy, peace, long-suffering, mercy and all, that comes from that growth. We're alive! You can be more of a peacemaker this time next Sunday than you are this time if you will give attention to the Word of God and let the Spirit of God search your inner heart. Now you're lost and you get saved. And the truth of the matter is, when you get saved, you're born again. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 15, He says, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. The implication here is that when God plants you, you're not going to be rooted up. In the 10th chapter of the book of John, He talks about that. And He says, of those that the Father gave me, Jesus says, none shall perish. We got a book at home. None shall perish. And the whole book is about eternal security when you believe. Well, isn't that a blessing? Jeremiah says, we can be like a tree planted beside the water. Psalm 1 says, we can be like a tree planted beside the water. The New Testament epistles say that when we are saved and we get this new heart, and now we're blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. I said, step on toes. We don't say, I don't know if my finances will let me tithe. What? You think the shepherd that was really dedicated to the Lord and he had 10 new sheep could say in his heart, well, they all look so good, I hate to part with him. Say, well, he's a good businessman. No. No. He doesn't know that passage not yet written at that time. In 1 John it says, this is the love of God that we keep His commandments and they're not grievous to us. See? You can be a new creature. And now, just to tie it all together, I want to close by reading, without much comment, you say, yeah, right, you always make comments. Luke 12, 2 to 12. Luke 12, 2 to 12. I'm talking to myself today. Luke 12, 2 to 12. It's another thing. Really, the closer we get to the Lord, the less self-conscious we are. You ever think about that? The less self-conscious we are. We're on a mission. We're on a mission. It'd be good to shine your shoes before you go out and make sure you don't have, you know, scrambled egg on your tie and a few things like that. But the truth of the matter is, you're going as an ambassador of Christ. And it's not about us. You say, well, my stomach sometimes growls because it makes me a little bit nervous to confront somebody. Well, so be it. So be it. Okay, Luke chapter 12, verses 2 to 12, all the words of Jesus Christ. Think of all these three sermons as I say this. I'm not going to make the emphasis. You make the emphasis and you make the application. And oh, how powerful this text is. And then Brother Doug is going to come and lead us in a closing hymn. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear Him, and that is God. Fear God. Why? Because God, after He hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear Him. And are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Just this comment. That's because the Holy Ghost takes this message to the inner man, to your heart. And when you reject and you go against the Spirit of God, you're going against God's whole artillery, His whole infantry, His whole cavalry, His whole air force, His whole navy that is poured out toward your soul to convict you of sin and to get you to trust in Him. Don't you dare resist the work of the Holy Spirit in your personal life. Don't say another day. Don't say, I look at another. Yield to Him right now. Because He says, and when they bring you onto the synagogues and onto the magistrates and powers, take no thought or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. What a blessing to be a Christian. You don't go anywheres alone. You don't go anywheres alone. They can burn you at the stake, and you don't burn at the stake alone. What a blessing. Brothers and sisters, take a good spiritual MRI down in here. And God's testing. You better test too and take a look. And lost friend, trust in the Lord now while He is near.